Good morning, church. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the righteous will not inherit the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Danny, for the scripture reading. It's good to see you here this morning. Daryl, thank you for a wonderful job in helping us to celebrate the life of grace. It's wonderful. Keith, I was in awe at the legacy of your family and the people that were there. It's just real encouraging to me. You know, I'm thrilled. All the beautiful flowers that we have here today, they wanted to share those with us. So great. I would much rather today be preaching from the book of Romans about grace, the love of God. I'd rather be preaching from the book of Hebrews about the blood of Jesus and how it washes and constantly cleanses our sin. But I need to share with you something. I want to preface what I'm going to say. I prayed about this a lot, and I pray to God that I will say it the right way. And it's important that I say this and that we be reminded of it and maybe be a little more proactive or involved, because our children are being taught as early as kindergarten that homosexuality is normal. In our libraries are books that speak of two mommies and two daddies. And so what I say today is not said with any malice or anger in my heart at all. I love homosexual people. I need to find a deeper way somehow to connect. But I do, and I don't have any, I don't want this to be negative for me. The message I want to share with you this morning is it's the Word of God. We introduced a study a little bit last week with Phil Robertson. December, Phil Robertson, this 2013, was suspended from Duck Dynasty for about 3 weeks. He was interviewed by GQ Magazine, and he made some statements, really just, if you go back and look at him, he basically quoted the Bible or paraphrased. A&E then realized, they suspended really for a while, Duck Dynasty, they realized that the program couldn't continue without Phil, and they weren't going to go. And at 14 or 15 million viewers a week, you can't let a cash cow like that die. So very quietly, they suspended their suspension. There was a firestorm that arose after that, and I thought about playing some clips, and I thought, no, if you read the newspaper or watch the news, you already know, but there was a firestorm. You were either for him or you against him. People were saying such things like, you know, this is 2013. Phil Robertson needs to get with the times. He needs to get with the program and make some changes. And I thought, gee, you know, for 7,000 years or whatever, we've had one man, one woman, and suddenly we're supposed to make these huge shifts. A&E said this: we're extremely disappointed about what Robertson said. The gay community says they were offended. And GLAAD said, well, it's vile and it's extreme. If you watch the interview, Phil Robertson never raised his voice. He can be rather voicey, but he never raised his voice. Those who were offended by Phil Robertson declared the following. They said, you're homophobic, you are intolerant, you are unloving, and you are judgmental. All of those things really trying to tear at the character of the man. There was a lot of talk about people being born homosexual and questioning the very idea of condemning folks that are born that way. So let's take a look at this one step at a time, okay? First, Phil Robertson was absolutely correct. Homosexuality is not natural. We're going to read some scriptures in a moment. It is a sin. And whoever practices homosexuality will not go to heaven. Larry mentioned we're all going to die. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, unless Jesus comes back. Either way, hallelujah. So the short lifetime here, one of these days I'll try to use an illustration, but do a visual with me for a moment. If I had a white rope that reached out into the eons of the city, and I took some red tape or something and put on the end of this rope about this much. That red on that rope, if I made it out of red tape, would represent our lifetime. The rest of that rope, however far you could go on into infinity, that represents eternity. So we're not talking about something insignificant, even as far as time, when we're talking about missing out on heaven. Now, is all this true because Phil Robertson is so smart, or maybe is it because it's what God said? Read these scriptures with me. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So there's no excuse. A couple of verses later, for this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. Jude, when he writes, reminds of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was only about three instances where God intervened directly and didn't use a nation to put down another nation. One of them was a flood. The other was Sodom and Gomorrah. And because of their immorality and their stance, God rained down fire from heaven, and they were destroyed, not just Sodom and Gomorrah, but the cities surrounding all of them. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a joke. You can go examine the ruins today and find that the contents are still there. Jude says this: just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, served as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. And then in the scripture that Danny read, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. I don't like to be deceived, do you? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. There have been many in our religious world. There are people who would claim to believe in Jesus. And these people have gone as far as they can in the direction of trying to say the Bible doesn't mean what it says. They say things like, well, this was mistranslated, or it was misunderstood, or, but you really should understand what he meant in the context of your current culture. This is an attempt to be politically correct in society in our current day. We hear the word politically correct. Webster says this: politically correctness is conforming to a belief that language and practices which could offend political sensibilities as in matters of sex or race should be eliminated. That is, if you disagree with someone, your thinking should be eliminated. And today it's to the point that if you disagree with them and you won't silence your voice, you should be eliminated. I want to go back to that text in Romans chapter 1. He said the unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress. The word suppress means to conceal, to hide, to censor the truth. What happens when you take the word of God and you hide it? What happens when you take the word of God and you censor it? What happens when you take the word of God and you suppress it so that people do not see it as it is? These individuals want to swap what they want and reject God's truth. Their consistent effort by sectarians in attempting to change God's word, and I want to say this very kindly, when you try to suppress God's truth, you become a liar. I don't have any words to say it. There's truth, and there's a lie. And you cannot have it both ways. So if you suppress it and you want to change it to make it say what you want it to say, it no longer says what God inspired men to write down. And the message has never changed. So first, Phil Robinson was absolutely correct because it's not his idea, it's God's command. Homosexuality is a sinful lifestyle. Secondly, homosexuals are not born that way. If you're at least half as old as the crust of the earth, you remember back in the 80s when this began to be introduced, a sort of new scientific material. And it began to get some traction that really it's not the individual who practices homosexuality's fault. It's the way that they were created. Now, there's no legitimate study, by the way. No legitimate study that proves that still to this day. Here's how it works today. Ninth grader comes home and asks mom and dad, do you think people are born gay? You have to be ready to answer that question, brothers and sisters in Christ. Or some church is having a forum about homosexuality and a participant states, a researcher found a gay gene. And for most of our society, the issue is settled. Do you see the subtlety of the process? Or homeschooler has a report on brains and behavior. He comes across an article saying one scientist found homosexuals and heterosexuals have very different brain structures. Again, the case is settled. No definitive evidence, no blind studies, no real scientific effort, but because someone says so, it suddenly becomes the fact and the norm, and it changes everything that has stood before that God says is different. Little effort or little thought. All kinds of things are said that change our lives. They don't just change it now, but they change it for an eternity. For us as Christians, this should not be hard. God says it's a sin. That means Jerry doesn't have an opinion on that. If I want to understand what sin is, I need to look at God and his definition. God says you can't make it to heaven if you live a homosexual lifestyle. So the thought then becomes, well, did God condemn people? Did he make them that way? And he condemned them. He said, look, you are destined to be this way, but you can't be that way, so I'm going to condemn you. Think about what that would mean. That's not possible. That would destroy the very nature of who God is. So the whole idea is dumb. God and who he stands for is holiness and righteousness and justice and goodness and mercy and truth. All of these things are man's way of justifying sin. You and I know that we can justify anything we want. I can justify my third bowl of black walnut ice cream if I choose. And if my wife gives me the look that says, why are you being such a pig? I can even give her a look that would shut her down. It would be wrong, of course, but we have the ability from God to justify sin. Stay with me, church. You name the sin that people get caught up in, and they will say, I can't help myself. Now think about this. This isn't a dog. This isn't a cat. This isn't a horse that you're fond of. We're talking about humans created in the image of God that were given minds to think, who say, I cannot help myself. Stay with me. A person in adultery says, I can't help myself. I fell in love with him or I fell in love with her. And therefore, it must be that God destined us to do this because God would want me to be what? Happy. It doesn't matter. My happiness and the chaos that I leave behind with my family and other people isn't really entered into the equation. It's just what I want. Could she or he help the way they're living? Were they destined? Were they destined to commit adultery? A man with child pornography on his computer says, recently offered it in a court, I can't help myself. It's the way God made me. Could he help himself? Was that the way he was born? Really? Homosexual says also, I can't help myself. I have no other choice. I have no destiny other than the one that God gave me from birth. So let's blame it on God for what I don't wish to change. This last week in the Tulare, I almost said the Tulare Daily Rag, that wouldn't be good, but in the Tulare Avalanche Journal said this. One of the headlines was, teen suicide attempts down in 32 states. Now that will get any thinking or caring person's attention. And I honed right in. Stay with me. That corresponds, they said, to the legalization of same-sex marriages. In 2000s, when a lot of the states, 32 of the states said, we agree that same-sex marriages is okay, and they passed that. In those 32 states, what they're saying is teen suicide attempts is down. The new law, listen to this, how it's written. I'm quoting in here. I should have put quote marks. The new law may make gay kids hopeful. A study published by JAMA Pediatrics didn't prove the drop was caused by same-sex marriages. Listen closely. This is the end of the article. But suggested an association between the two. No facts. Just that it's down here. Well, it could be possible, but the rest of the article tells you it's a fact. It's kind of like reading things on baptism and saying it's not necessary, and then running on to 1 Peter 3:21. Where like baptism doth also now save you. Follow with me this kind of thinking that offers the excuse that people are born that way. Now, this has a huge appeal to sociologists and psychologists. It's grander than you can even imagine. This week I read about a small group of researchers. If I've lost you, tune in. Researchers proposing that child molesters cannot help themselves. They were born with that behavior, and it was built into them. Los Angeles Times, 2013, said this. Many researchers take a different view of pedophilia. You know what pedophilia is? If you don't know what that is, that's when normally guys are raising their eyes and looking at the girl even out of the corner of their eye going, wow. But a pedophile looks at your 2 or 3 year old daughter or son and says, I want them for something impure. Pedophilia was once thought, this is what the article says, was once thought to stem from psychological influences early in childhood, but now many, I always wanted you to notice, even the headlines was many. In purple, I put many. How many? Well, it's two or more. But they make you think there's a whole list of people out here. Many experts is another word, it has deep-rooted predisposition. I'll get it out in a minute. It doesn't change. It's locked in stone. Still going on. In the laboratory, aha, that sounds real definitive. Researchers, adding to the scientific point, are coming to that same conclusion. Here's their research. Here's their laboratory. A man sits alone in a room viewing a series of images, listing descriptions of various sexual acts, adults and children, male and female, while wearing a device that monitors blood pressure and on and on and on. Like many forms of sexual deviance, pedophilia was once thought to stem from psychological influences. Now many experts view it as sexually orientation and immutable. That means fixed, rigid, or inflexible, as homosexuality or heterosexuality. So now we have a third or fourth category that wants to have validation and a law passed. Now, the next battle before this one I talked about with pedophilia will be transgender. It's already there. They are going to be demanding that a law be passed to protect them. I don't know how significant you view this, but if you look at the homosexual percentage of the population of America, it's 2% or less. So we have 2% or less of our nation who determine what the other 98% of us will do and believe. Now, for those of you that aren't as old as I am, from when the crust of the earth was cooling, if you had in the 50s put on a means of voting in America, you would have had in the high 90% of people who would have rejected homosexuality. You know what I'm saying? Let's move on. Where does it end? Who decides what's right and wrong? Who can make that choice? Now, it's true that once a person gets caught in sin, they feel trapped. Anybody ever been in sin and you didn't feel trapped? I'm going to see if he's going to tell the truth. When you get in sin and you're practicing and you're involved in the process, you feel trapped, and you really are for a moment. Sin, that is the nature of sin. Sin promises you everything, but it gives you nothing. The wages of sin is, say it again. I just put down drugs, alcohol, tobacco, could be eating the third bowl of black walnut ice cream, overindulges, can be anything. Doesn't matter. Anything to which I become a slave becomes sinful for me. My allegiance is to Jesus. Once you start living a certain behavior, man is like pulling teeth. But it is possible to get out, so hang on, because before we leave, I want to give you some good news. Well, for just a second, about God and the gay Christian, there is an author called Matthew Vine who wrote a book, The Biblical Case in Support of Same-Sex Relationships. He's all the buzz in those that are interested in trying to say it's possible that for a person to be a Christian and homosexual at the same time. And he writes that, and there are churches who are buying these by the cases and passing them out among their members, because they want their members to understand how you can be a gay person, practicing gay person, and a Christian. That would be like saying you can be a Muslim and a Christian. Muslims say Muhammad is a prophet and Jesus is a joke. The Christian says Jesus is Lord. Stay with me. If you can have a Christian who's gay, then you can have a Christian who sleeps around. You can have someone who steals occasionally. Not hurting anything, not hurting anybody, just occasionally. They only steal from the rich. You can have a Christian who worships some pagan god, and I'm not talking about some little idol you put on your dresser. Anything that I worship, that I am devoted to, becomes my god. A Christian can make themselves a prostitute on the side, pick up a few extra bucks. If I can do one, I can do the other. But biblically, I can do none. Why? The one who has the ultimate decision and makes the choices says, I cannot. Those are the very sins in 1 Corinthians that it says will keep you out of heaven. They're all on the same list, church. I'm not picking one out this morning, picking them out and saying, this is worse than the others. Let's review. Homosexuals are not born that way. Homosexuality is a sin. It will keep you out of heaven. You say, why do you keep bringing that up? That is the biggest, most ginormous thing that will ever happen to us. I mean, you can't believe. Eye is not here. Eye is not heard. A seen. No one has heard what awaits those who love the Lord. So we're not talking about something that's insignificant. We're talking about the most significant events when your heart stops beating. Two wrongs don't make a right. The Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas, has gained a lot of notoriety from writing things like this: God hates you and you're going to hell. And they put it on their church signs and they pick it up and down the streets. And I think, and you call yourself a what? In our text, I find it significant that homosexuality isn't at the top of the list. And I don't know that there's a top and the bottom, but if there is, it's not at the top of the list. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Our text has as much to say about adultery or any kind of sexual immorality as it says about sodomy. Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost. Praise God. Are homosexuals lost? Yes. So is everybody else in the list of 1 Corinthians and any other place that God says it's wrong. You notice how quiet I am? I don't get any joy out of this. I need to say it. Because it's part of what we need to hear, but I don't get any joy out of sharing this. This isn't thrilling. I guess if it keeps somebody out of hell, it would be great. But it isn't thrilling like preaching some of the stuff I love. As Christians, we must not hate homosexualities. Some homosexuals. We got to love them. We need to pray. We need to try to interact. Phil Robertson has noted that our culture has accepted two great lies. The first one, he says, if you disagree with somebody's lifestyle, you got to hate them. There was no discussion with Phil about what. They always quoted Phil. Had several people who tried to question them about the Bible, and they said, oh, you mean that ancient book? It's just a storybook. And the visceral began to come out of their mouth. If you spit on the ground, the acid would have burned a hole in the carpet. Second thing he says is, to love somebody, you must agree with everything or believe everything that they do. It's nuts. But there's an even greater lie, and this one I want to suggest, church, that we need to resist. We need to fight it with all the strength that we have, because our culture has sort of changed this for us. It is the lie that we should not say anything about homosexuality. Well, that's the way they live. They want to live. Just let them live, or it's none of my business. I hear people say this all the time. The vast majority of Americans aren't homosexual. The vast majority don't practice. But rather than thinking God is the authority, by the way, I'll share this with you sometime, but the first five or six presidents quoted this book right here and said, without it, we cannot function as a country. It's impossible. So the idea that's none of my business is my business for lots of reasons. Number one, God made it my business. Stay with me. Do you really believe that? If you don't believe it, you're saying, well, just let them go to hell. It's not my problem. I can't stop them. Say you're driving down the road and you notice some black smoke coming out of an upstairs home. What do you do? Well, Rusty and I are just driving down the road, and we see that one day. And I said, Rusty, look, it's a smoke. And he goes, yeah, I hope nobody's home. Hope there's not any kids sleeping. Really? Is that how we would respond as individuals? Say the odor comes to the door, and we tell him, and he says, you're crazy, go away. We say, okay, go back in and just burn up. Would we just walk away? We know from scriptures that gays and those who engage in other sin will miss out on the greatest event of all eternal time. Their house is literally on fire, church, and their destiny unchanged is hell. Are you comfortable with that? Do you want to see them go to hell? God's not happy with that. I'm asking, I realize it's a question that's already answered. No. But will we talk about it? Will we engage people? And you understand, when you talk about it, you'll automatically be called a homophobe and all the other things that you will. But we will at least be a voice, a kind and loving and gentle voice in a world where people will hear, hopefully, and see our reaction and hear about Jesus from a different way than they ever thought that was possible. See, God is all about changing people. We ended with verse 10 when we started our text. Here's what verse 11 says. And such were some of you. Some of you were homosexual. Some of you were sexually immoral. Some of you were idolaters, adulterers. Such were some of you, but you were washed. Read it together, church. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord. Don't tell me I can't get out of sin. I may not want to get out of sin. I may like it at the moment, but I can get out of sin. I can have it all washed away. So it isn't dependent upon God. It's dependent upon me. And yes, I may not can do it alone with a brother or sister in Christ. And God's help, I can get it done. They had been, all of those things. But they heard the message of God, they opened their hearts, and they were no longer sinners. And this is true of all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'll leave us with this verse. God has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Oh, we could talk about that for a long time. Pitch black, no light. Stumbling around, not knowing where I'm going. He's transferred. You ever get a transfer? You ever get a good transfer? This is a good transfer. He's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. He bought us back. And the forgiveness of sins. Something I cannot do to myself, but something that must be done in order for me to have a relationship with God. Is there anything that I won't give up? Is there anything I won't change or make a relationship different in order to have forgiveness of sin? If Bill Robertson said, my mission today is to go forth and tell people why I follow the Christ. That's ours. We're all given the same thing. Going to all the world, that could be just as simple as going and picking up the phone and asking how someone is or what they need, or going and visiting someone, or going is just go everywhere. And wherever you go, you tell people how much Jesus has done for you. That's why Jesus told a demoniac one time who he healed, and he said, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no, go back in the city and tell them what God has done for you. And he does, and when he comes back to the city, guess what he finds? He finds a city of changed people. Not all will hear, church, but some will. There are people saying no to Satan and yes to Jesus every day. I don't know where you are in your walk with life, but we're going to sing a song of invitation. If there's some way that we can meet your need, let us know while we stand and sing.